It is fabulous to be with you guys. I love being your pastor. It's a joy. It sometimes feels like it shouldn't be a job at all. It's a wonderful thing. So thanks for the great joy. I need to catch you up with a couple things that are happening over the summer here. One is Will has put together over the last several years. We've had the opportunity to have interns on our team during the summer, and so we have two of them this summer: Dom Massa, and Hannah Jones. And I want you guys to meet them because our desire is to absolutely wear them out. And so if at any time you see them not bleeding or sweating, give them something to do, okay? Dom, you and Hannah come up and say hello to everybody. And you guys, tell everybody what you're doing when you're not our summer interns.
Hi, everyone. My name's Hannah, and I'm going to be a junior at the Ohio State University, and I am studying early childhood education and visual impairment.
Hey guys, I'm Dom Massa. As Mark said, it's been a privilege to be out here. Just the past few weeks, my face really is new. I have attended the Hudson campus quite a bit, but when I'm not here with you lovely people, I am at Moody Bible Institute in Chicago studying. So please pray for me, but also, I would love to meet you guys. As I'm getting acquainted with this campus, I've become really grateful for a lot of things that God is doing here. And so I would love to hear from you guys as I'm learning more about the church and getting acquainted. What do you love about what God is doing here? So feel free to share that with me. One thing that's really apparent to me and probably to you too, something that you love and that you're grateful for, is Mark Lyle and Will Bursch and these guys. So yeah, I'd love to connect with you guys, but.
That was very nice of you to say, Dom. We're not letting up on you because of that. And Hannah said first hour, most of you know this, but Hannah has been at this church since it has been Christ Community Chapel. So thank you, Will. It is so fun to have them around. They breathe a new, fresh energy into what we're doing. So it really is wonderful. Two other items that I need to catch you up on, last week, if you happen to remember, we talked a little bit about why the church exists, and I said three words that are always going to help you to understand and remember why this church, or really God's church, exists. Those three words are what? Know, grow, and serve. Outstanding. Know, grow, and serve. And I'm going to remind you of that various ways, and we're going to work on even signage around here to remind us that the purpose for us existing and the process that we go through is that we come to know Jesus, then we grow after that, and we live to serve him in response with hearts of gratitude. So that's terrific. And I used a skiing analogy, and I said, hey, I had to check that form, if you remember, beginner, intermediate, and I said, I'm going to send you something. Well, we had some technical difficulty, so I need you to relax for about a week, but I'm going to show you next Sunday what I'm going to have you fill out to kind of let me know more about where you are in your spiritual walk and in that process, okay? So thanks for being patient. I appreciate that, and we will get that taken care of. Also, this has nothing to do with our sermon at all, but on Thursday, as I was leaving the campus, I was leaving, and just a few seconds after me, Chris Mackey, our facilities guy, came. And as I turned out onto 306, I looked back at the church, which I often do, because our facilities guys do an unbelievable job on the lawn, and it just always looks so good. And I looked back at the church, and this is what I saw. Isn't that incredible? And I don't know if you know about our VBC is the Sweet Life, and it's all the colors of the rainbow. And so immediately, actually, Chris Mackey took, my picture wasn't this good. Chris took this one. And immediately, I texted it to Nicole and to Melanie, and I said, God is advertising our VBC for us. I said, this is awesome. But I was just thinking, and somebody pointed out to me today, I didn't see until today, there's actually a second rainbow in that. So I'm not a mystical guy, but I was going, this is just cool. All right, so we're going to put it up like on our website or on our Facebook page or something so you can enjoy it there or copy it. But you can see the storm had just gone through, and it was just that kind of beauty. So anyway, there you go. That's a freebie right there. No extra offering charge for that one. June, men, ladies, welcome. Ladies, you get to relax just a little bit in June because one of the things we think about is Father's Day coming up. And so our CCC team said, you know what would be kind of cool is if we did a little bit of an emphasis on being a man of God. And we're calling this series Man Up. Okay, so men, a lot of the time today, I'm going to refer to you specifically. And ladies, you will hear spiritual truths, and they apply to you as well. But I'm just going to ask you if you would relax a little bit and let me talk to the guys. And in many cases, those guys are connected to you as well. They're your husbands, they're your fathers, they're your brothers. And so maybe even what I talk about is there could be the opportunity for spiritual accountability, for even fellowship. You'll see what I'm talking about. But there's also kind of a neat thing for me personally that's happening this weekend into tomorrow. My son Tommy turns 18 years old tomorrow. Tommy, I am so proud of the man you are becoming. I want you to know that. And I'm going to steal him for a minute and use him in our sermon because it's appropriate. We were talking last week, and he said, Dad, it's so weird to be turning 18. And I said, why? And he said, because I kind of thought I would feel different. And I kind of chuckled inside because I knew what I was going to be preaching. And I realized that for many guys, we stumble backward into manhood. Let me say it a little differently. I had a group of, when Tommy was in middle school, I got to help with his small group. And so it was a small group of young 7th, 8th, 9th grade boys. And one particular series that we did, I wanted them to start thinking about manhood. So I asked the question, how will you know you are a man when you become one? And if you ever get the chance to be around 7th, 8th, or 9th grade boys, ask that question. Because it is terrific, the responses you get. It was everything from, I'll have my own car. I'll finally have the money I want to spend it the way I want. I'll get to do things the way I want to do them. You know, and all the time, when they're saying that, I'm thinking like, oh yeah, like pay bills. And like, yeah, it'll be awesome. You'll love it. And you know, it was the, I know I'll be a man because I'll marry some hot girl, you know? And I loved their honesty. And then I also realized, and we got to talk through, that for some of them, they just thought manhood was something that automatically happened because you got bigger. And I started to say, you know what? No, in fact, there are a lot of people whose bodies fully mature and they are males, but they are never men. And so, guys, my greatest hope today for you is that what Scripture says about what a man is describes who you are. Hopefully, who you already are aspiring to be and understanding and trying to live in that truth. And if not, that today might open by God's Spirit working in your heart and your mind, that it might open your eyes to what it really means. How will you know that you're a man? How will you know that you're a spiritual man? So we're going to try to man up together. In Mark world, is an interesting place. Mark World is the world I imagine if I could run the world. And in Mark World, what would happen to 18-year-olds is that day or the day after their 18th birthday, they would go and pick out their gravestone. Okay? But in Mark World, their gravestone would have a series of words on it. It would already be printed, and they would have to choose the word that they hope describes their life at the end of their life. Okay? Now, for those of you, and it's all of you, because you guys are smart, all I've done is kind of repackage what Stephen Covey said in when he wrote a book called The Seven Habits of Highly Effective People. He said one of the habits of people, men in our case, that are highly effective is they begin with the end in mind. So I would love Tommy, I would love the 18-year-olds that I know to think about, to consider the end and when they are laid in that place. And as Pastor Joe says, the mortality rate is still hovering dangerously close to 100%. So when they are laid to rest underneath that stone, does that stone with the word that they picked really describe the life that they lived? And men, what I would like to recommend that you and I choose as a word to be on that tombstone is integrity. Okay? So what we have to do is we have to ask ourselves the question, what is a man of integrity? How does a man of integrity live? And how can I know whether that describes me or not? And at this point, you guys are going, Mark World is a really screwed up place. All right? You need to leave that place. Turn in your Bibles, would you, to 1 John. 1 John chapter 1. And as we read God's Word this morning, I want to pull out a couple of principles that I think really can guide, guys, can guide us into this definition of being men of integrity and living lives that are described as having integrity. Starting in verse 5, it says this: "This is the message we have heard from him and proclaim to you, that God is light and in him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with him while we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, his son, cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." So, guys, what I want to do there is, in that short passage, I want to just, Pastor Joe does such a great job with 3 points. So I thought, I'm going to get 3 points today. And here's what they are. A man of integrity knows the truth about himself. A man of integrity speaks the truth about himself. And a man of integrity has a plan to handle that truth. So a man of integrity knows the truth about himself, he speaks the truth about himself, and he has a plan to live out the reality of that truth. So let me take the very first one, the very first point, the very first characteristic of many that could be described about a man of integrity is this. A man of integrity knows the truth about himself, and that truth is found right in 1 John verse 8. And it says this: "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." Guys, I would love to start on a positive note, But in order for you to be a man of God, in order to be, for you to be a man who is rescued by God, you have, it is imperative that you and I understand the truth of our spiritual condition. And the truth of our spiritual condition says that we are what? Absolutely. So, guys, what that says to you and me is we do not, let me rephrase that using a variety of insights from other passages in God's Word. It says this, number one, on our own, gentlemen, in your soul, you and me, we will not run toward God, we will run away from God in our natural spiritual state. We will rebel against the truths of God. We will deceive ourselves, is what it says in 1 John, to tell ourselves, one of the evidences of our sin is that we tell ourselves we're really okay. And the harsh truth that I need to tell you guys is that until we acknowledge our true spiritual state, we can never be healthy spiritual people, right? Until we understand that sin is to our spirit like cancer is to our body, then we will never seek any kind of help. We will never humble ourselves or try to find any kind of rescue because we're lying to ourselves about our spiritual state. I don't love telling you that. I don't get some weird joy out of going, you know what? I love telling people how spiritually messed up they are. I tell you that because God's word is true. It's the revelation of God to us about ourselves. And what it says is, don't deceive yourselves. Gentlemen, ladies, we are spiritually toxic. We are infected. And we cannot make ourselves well. So a man of integrity knows the truth about himself, and he embraces that when it demonstrates itself in my workplace, in my marriage, in my parenting, whatever it is, I am a sinner who needs a Savior. The second characteristic of a man of integrity is he speaks the truth about himself. Now you're going, Mark, can I just think it? Isn't that okay? No, it's not. 1 John doesn't give us that option, nor does James. What it says here in 1 John is in order for this spiritual healing, this rescue to happen, men, you and I need to do something. And it's encapsulated in a single word. And what is that word? Confess. Right? It says we are to, when we confess our sins, when we acknowledge, God, you absolutely are right about my spiritual condition. And when we acknowledge that before God, it says something incredible happens. A spiritual reality that is incredible happens. It says that God, in his mercy, in his goodness, in his grace, sponges away, cleanses all of our sins by what? The blood of Jesus. Right? So we don't have, it's not just in our crying out. It's not just, okay, God, I think you're right. I give. No, God took radical action to send Jesus, the perfect man who had no sin nature, to rescue us by his perfect obedient life and the purity of his blood. He cleanses us from unrighteousness. And then the Spirit of God begins to make us into the image of the perfect, sinless Son of God. That's incredibly cool. But, guys, you don't just speak the truth to God. So, if there's any confusion, and guys, you are like me. You like simple. You like, give me a couple of bullet points. Let me hang on them. I got it. I'm good. Let's go. All right, here they are. Number one, Mark, are you saying at some point, get down on my knees and pray to God to tell him I'm a sinner and ask and beg for his forgiveness and cleaning. Yes, I am. There it is. Yes, do that. If you've never done that, do it. Today, sometime in the near future, don't wait. Acknowledge that before God. But, and this is where it gets wild and woolly. Guys, James then tells us and gives us insight about this confession as well. Except he says to confess our sins one to another. So I thought that with the last 5 minutes we have left, we'll just have open mic up here. And that is wild. Now, let me tell you about my experience. It's just mine. After I tell you, you may thank the Lord that your experience is nothing like mine. I grew up in a very Protestant home. Okay? In a very Protestant home, in a very Catholic neighborhood. I used to get angry. I wanted to play wiffle ball at 5 o'clock on Saturday afternoons, and it was a ghost town. We had been playing all day. All of a sudden, it's a ghost town because every one of my friends went to this thing called Mass. And I went home and I said, Mom, what is Mass and why don't we go to it? And she said, that's what Catholics do. We're Protestant. So I said, okay. I didn't know what we were protesting, but we were Protestant. And so I grew up with a distorted view of Roman Catholicism. Now, I'll tell you, I have come to study and believe what I believe about Scripture, and I'm not saying I'm ready to convert, I'm not, but I will also say I absolutely know and have dear friends in the Roman Catholic Church who are believers in Jesus Christ, absolutely, certainly. And there are Roman Catholics who are doing nothing but following what they were brought up in. And by the way, there's the same thing in evangelicalism. There are people who just are spouting the words, but the life doesn't match at all, and no salvation is evident. But I think one of the things that I think as a Protestant, we threw this all out when we tried to show how non-Catholic we are, and I'm going to tell you what it is. It's confession. It's the idea that, now, I don't believe you have to go to a priest to confess your sins in order for God to save you. But I think as Protestants, we threw all confession out, and we said that means I don't ever have to say the reality of my sins to someone else. I think James says that's absolutely wrong. And here's why I think why. Because you got to get the toxin out, men. You and I need, and in most cases what we need is other men that we can say, here's the reality of me. And men, what we need from each other is that we don't gasp in horror and say, I never knew you were such a monster, and then run. Because the reality is that monster is every one of us. And how we do it here is we try to connect you in relationships where men can trust one another and walk and lean into one another in this walk that is following Christ. And we do it through things like men's fraternities, and we do it through Christian leadership concepts and Bible studies. And ladies, I know you do it too, but this isn't for you today. But guys, you need to understand the truth about yourself, but you need to also speak the truth about yourself. So if what you need is that kind of relationship connection, start to cultivate it today. Commit to being willing to try to connect with some other guys. And that leads me to my third. You need a plan of some sort. Guys, it would be great if your spiritual maturity happened because you backed into it by accident, but it is not going to. The one thing we talk about in men's fraternity all the time is godly men, men of integrity, reject passivity. Guys, we want to be passive. We want the world to come to us naturally. And that is not the way God desires for us to live. We need a plan. We need to include other men. We need to sharpen one another, just as iron sharpens iron. So, guys, look for those opportunities. But I'm gonna make it even, I think, even easier. I have asked my staff and many of our leadership team, I've said, this summer, what I'd love to do is I would love for all of us to get to know one another better. And so I call it the summer of contact, of just being in connection with one another. And what I asked specifically of my staff and my leadership team is I said, I would like for all of you to begin to look for people in the church and take them out to coffee just to get to know them. I call them coffee with a purpose, C-W-A-P, coffee with a purpose. Okay, so some of you might get a phone call from one of our staff or our leadership, and you go, I don't know this person. Okay, I'm telling you what the secret sauce is here. This is what it is. All they're doing is trying to get to know you. And guys, especially, the reason I want us to connect is because I know that going from I'm going to hold the toxin of sin inside myself to I'm going to gush my toxin all over everybody, there are a few steps in between there. And guys, you and I need those steps of I can get to know you, I can trust you, and we're going to try to take those steps together. Coffees with a purpose. My staff calls it OQAP. Okay? Men, I tell you that, and I also, I don't want you, oh, and ladies, you're doing it too. By the way, you're doing, did I hear somebody say quap? Oh, quap. I'm having way too much fun with that. I'm sorry. But guys, do me a favor. Reject passivity. Don't wait to get called upon. Go and do it. You guys, go connect. Call somebody up. I had a guy first hour who last week I said, hey, I love to go to coffee. I'd love to get to know people. And a guy called me up and said, I'm taking you up on this. Let's go. We had a great time. Sat for an hour. I didn't know anything about him. Guy from California. He's involved in ministry. Incredible time. That's how those links get built. That's how we begin to have lives that they're the same and they're godly in every area, in our work, in our marriage, in our leisure. I had a terrible and a wonderful privilege in my life. I had a good friend at the Hudson campus. His name was Perry Kurosha. And Perry was a guy who was involved as a deacon. He was involved in marriage ministry. He was involved in Christian in CLC. He helped to lead a CLC group, and shortly after his CLC group finished their two-year course, he died at 52. And the thing that was remarkable about Perry's life was everybody, and I had the privilege of doing his memorial service, and everybody that came from every area of Perry's life, every person that came said, Perry was the real deal. It didn't matter if it was something at work. Perry did not cheat us. Perry's word was solid. Perry lived out his faith. Perry was kind. And it didn't matter what area of life he was talking about. Guys he played football with, guys he worked with, guys in his CLC group. That's a life that's integrated. That's integrity. The truth of Jesus, the miracle of his salvation in your life, runs through the circuit to everything in your life. And guys, if I ever have to do your service, I want to say that about you guys. I want people to come who I've never met and said, oh, you knew exactly the same guy I did, because he was exactly the same way with me as he was in church, as he was when he was playing pinochle, for people who still do stuff like that. That's what I want for all of you, ladies too. God, thanks for your grace and your mercy to us today. Thanks for the way your Spirit just plows into us when your word comes forth. Thanks for the conviction. Give us the courage, all of us, to lean into one another, to know the truth about ourselves, and to cry out how desperately we need Jesus and how amazing the work is that we recognize that he's done for us in his salvation. And then to lean into one another, I ask in Christ's name. Amen.